Welcome to Landmark, episode 10 of What's on Joe Mind. If you don't know by now, we're a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe, and it's the internet's only podcast dedicated to our favorite hobby. Joining us while making his rounds on the podcast talk show circuit is GeneralJoe's.com's Justin. How's the world treating you, Justin?
Gary, how's it going? It's going well. No promises about tonight. I was up till about 2 in the morning recording the podcast for the guys over at Foosh, a Sigma 6 specific Fooshcast special edition with Craig over there, and I spent about 4 hours of my life that I will never get back recording that last night. And
but it's Sigma 6.
It's Sigma 6. It was worth every second of it.
Now,
so I'm dragging ass a little bit today.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Hopefully that doesn't carry through to my usually stellar performance on the podcast.
We'll give you the handicap today. It's fine.
if you hear me snoring, just kind of, I don't know. You can't really give me a nudge over the computer, I guess. But
well, if you're snoring or breathing, I mean, someone's going to hear it and write the show about it anyway. So. Well, actually, we made it to episode 10, so can you believe it? You haven't been here for all of them, but not many podcasts make it to 10.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I did some research this weekend to see if there are any other Joe podcasts that made it to 10, and frankly, there's not many. There's not many Joe podcasts at all. You have Joe Review, which obviously made it past 10. You have the guys at Star Joe's, which are well past 10. But Justin, here's one that maybe you're interested in. The one other one that we're in fourth place behind, and we will soon pass. It was called the Joe Cast, and it was about in 2005. This guy did them, and they were all about Sigma 6.
And you know, I do remember. You're talking about the ones that were done by Dave Thornton?
It might have been him, yeah.
Because I did a guest spot on a couple of those, too. So
you are such a podcast whore.
I am a podcast whore, yeah. I guess I got to talk to the guys from Star Joe's, because I've done an episode for the Joe Review. I'm doing this one. I did that one. So I guess Star Joe's is the only one that's left in the old Joe podcast hierarchy before I can have a monopoly on G.I. Joe.
Get
podcast.
The old triple crown.
Yeah.
Well, we'll contact the guys at Star Joe's and try to angle your way. Now number 10 is a good number in Joe comic lore. Justin, why is number 10 a good number in Joe comic lore?
Oh, there's Billy.
Yes.
There was the town of Springfield, Venom.
And Dr. Venom. There you go. That's all we really needed to know about.
Springfield appeared in issue number 5, so I'm bad about that. But Venom and Billy, yeah, both in issue number 10.
Now, as you know, we have two other co-hosts here on the program. I have no idea where this is going to go, so we're going to try this. He's a syndicated columnist of InsidePulse.com and the newest member of the Bring 'Em Back Alive Club. I mean, that was a good TV show. Anyone see that back in the 80s? Bring 'Em Back Alive?
Must have missed that one.
Oh, look it up. Bruce Boxleitner.
Animal?
Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, everyone welcome Chuck.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Justin. How's it going today?
Doing great, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Now, Chuck, last time we left you, you were getting ready to take common household items and your Snake Eyes sword up to Canada to rescue Greg. So go ahead and tell us your tale of rescue. You have roughly 3 minutes and 53 seconds. I say that in case anyone wants to fast forward.
Okay. Well, if you all remember, I said all I needed was a toothbrush and some duct tape. Well, I drove up as far to the border as I could, covered myself in the duct tape with the sticky side out, not as difficult as you might think, rolled around in the ground, attracting debris so I could disguise myself as tumbleweed, and I just easily rolled across the border. Next, I proceeded to make my way to the jail facility where Greg was being held. Not that difficult when you realize that Canada, big open place, they only one jail, and they advertise it. So, thankfully by this point, I had the cover of night for me. I made my way in, ducking underneath. Tried to cut through the fence, and then I realized that my wonderful replica Snake Eye sword is actually dull. Because, you know, safety regulations, they couldn't sharpen it. But that's okay. So I was able to find a stone and sharpen the end of the toothbrush to make it into a shank. Remember the last couple episodes? And was able to use that to cut through. Finally, I made it into the yard, diving underneath the spotlights, which weren't there for security, but were advertising the Tim Hortons across the street that had just opened.
Don't knock Tim Hortons.
Hey, no, Timbits rule.
Okay.
So, I thought I was going to have to pick the lock, but apparently they don't lock anything in Canada, and I walked right in. Now, they keep foreign prisoners in a separate section. And, well, Greg was the only one, so he was rather easy to find. And I guess this goes without saying, but if the door was open, his cell door was unlocked, which makes me kind of wonder why Greg didn't try walking out. Well, I found him. He was a little disheveled, malnourished, because all they were giving him was poutine and beer.
Poutine. Poutine.
That's what I said. That's what I said, I think.
No, that was not what you said.
Poutine.
Oh, God.
That's why I didn't want to leave.
Alright, so basically, Greg, unfortunately, was too weak to walk. And I think also a little drunk from the beer. So I had to pick him up. And I ran, and I'm carrying him out. And as we're leaving, we're clear the fence, we're back into the cool of the night. Inexplicably, the jail bursts into an explosion behind me. Also inexplicably, my shirt rips open and starts blowing in a breeze where I don't know it came from as I'm carrying Greg back, all the way back home, reassuring him that he's safe now.
Now this bit's really more uncomfortable considering the music I'm playing. Anyways.
That's why I wanted you to play that music. So I was able to get him back. And Greg, all I want to say to you is you have three, sort of four co-hosts besides me. I mean, including me. Who was the only one that gave a damn to come and get you?
That would be you.
That's right. Don't you forget that.
I won't. Even though I failed in my big mission of finding Yoshiko, they even had 10 of them sitting there and I could have just stolen and ran away with it, but...
You like that Sky Striker that's now going on eBay.
Well, hey, that was an awesome, harrowing tale. Oh, that
I couldn't tell you. I didn't hear anything after Poontang. After that, it was all done.
And I'm encouraging people, high-profile members of the community, hey, yeah, listen to this. It's clean. Yeah.
Yeah.
And first 5 minutes, he drops the old Tang word on us.
Do you want to, like, just afterwards go back and I can just dub in?
No, it's okay.
No, it's the cat is out of the bag.
No, it's... So, folks, it's a new record. We are now 8 minutes in, and we've yet to introduce our fourth member. He's done cold hard time. He survived. He's our showrunner. He's Greg. Long time no see, buddy.
Hey, it's good to be back.
How you doing, Greg?
Good.
What a note to welcome you back with, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. I was not expecting that. I'm still, my memory's a little vague from all that rescuing, but I think I remember some parts of it. A couple things I wanted to mention just that I didn't get a chance to last week because of being gone, but the Canadian convention was a great time. Both me and my girlfriend had a blast. A lot of cool things to look at, things to buy, people to talk to. So it was a good time. If anybody hasn't been up there yet, again, highly recommend it. Go check it out some year. A couple things that I took notes of actually when I was up there because I wasn't able to get the recording to work well, but the Hasbro rep said that the 30th anniversary figures are going to be coming to Zellers, Walmart, and Toys R Us. This is from the Canadian rep, so these are the Canadian stores. Mid-sized vehicles like the Vamp and the Black Dragon should be available at Zellers and Toys R Us, and the Sky Striker should be available at Zellers. So that was right from her. She's trying to work on Toys R Us to get them to take the Sky Striker as well. But some good news for the fans up there.
Now, does Zellers really have an American equivalent? I mean, I know it's... Is it owned by any company down here? I mean, can we glean any kind of information for domestic release out of that info, or is that...
Target?
I mean, are Target and Zellers essentially the same company, or are they... Is it totally separate?
I think it's totally separate.
Yeah.
But
really?
It's its second largest mass merchandise discount store in Canada, but I don't think they're comparable to much else for
guys. I was always led to believe that there's like a parent company behind both of them but that basically might
actually change. I thought it was Kohl's.
Zellers and Kohl's?
Yeah, I thought it was Kohl's. That's what someone told me, but that's what I was expecting Greg to go, oh, yeah, it's Kohl's.
No. You know what Kohl's is? There's a store called Mayer's, M-E-J something. That's what Kohl's is.
Is that how that's Mayer's? Pronounced?
Myers?
Here we go. No. This is why the internet is a great thing. I'm on Reuters.com right now, and it says Target to enter Canada with Zeller's deal and their own plans.
There you go.
Maybe there is some kind of link between the two. I don't know.
Yeah, it says Target is not purchasing the Zeller's chain outright. And
yeah, they acquire up to 220 Zeller's stores, though. Who knows? Maybe
we'll,
the internet
do some
not
research
so cool.
And get back to you next week about it, hopefully.
Well, this is a good time then to pass out our contact information for the show so people that do know about this information can tell us so we can improve our podcast.
You can't get much better than this, Gary.
No, I know.
It's the gold standard right here.
Well, it's getting up there, but you know, there's always a little room for improvement no matter what, right?
That's true.
I was expecting you to go, forget you, I'm already perfect. I'm the one with the website. Yeah.
Before I went to sleep, I am far from perfect.
Well, if you would like to contribute to the show or have any questions or comments, suggestions, contact us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can also find us at our Podbean page, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com, and whatsonjoemind.podbean.com/mobile for all your mobile devices. We cover iPhones, Android, BlackBerry, Windows Mobile, and any phone that has an internet browser to support MP3 playback. Just so you know, moderation at the Podbean site is on, but we always approve comments, so if you leave a snarky comment, expect one back. So in other words, don't post it on another board. We'll eventually get to your question. Trust us. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Stop by our home site of joedeclassified.com and find our sticky threads now on TNI and Joe Customs. You guys rule. And on our regular discussion threads at Terradrome, JBL, His Tank, and if you can find it, the G.I. Joe Collectors Club.
There you go. And just a little interruption, elaboration on the New York Times article that I've got up here now is the Target Corporation said on Thursday it would make its first move outside of the United States by acquiring up to 220 Zeller's department store locations from the Hudson Bay's company for $1.8 billion. Hmm. The deal promises to transform Canadian retailing, much like the arrival of Walmart in Canada 17 years ago, and it will likely lead to the eventual disappearance of Zeller's, the last major discount chain based in Canada. So it sounds like Target did kind of absorb Zellers and is, you know, essentially the same, the same parent company. Though it sounds like they kind of targeted a different audience. Maybe it seems like they're indicating Zellers is much more about discount retail. Although I don't know if that's really true or not.
All right. Well, before we get going here to get off the Greg for the news portion, actually, we got a mailbag that actually we need to take care of. Real quick, technical support question. For all those that point your iPods, iPads, iPhones, and any iOS clients to the iTunes Store to download the program, which we thank you, it can take up to 24 hours for those devices to fully update. If you are running a Windows iTunes client, you can download the episode pretty much as soon as we upload it. And the way to do that is to go to your podcast on your left-hand side, and when your screen refreshes, go down to the bottom right corner, and there's a button there called Refresh. You click that button, it'll check all your subscriptions, it'll find the newest episode and start downloading immediately. I don't have a Mac to test that on, so if someone that has a Mac can test that, it might be the same with the Mac client as well. But in terms of the iOS clients, it's going to take about 24 hours. If you have any questions concerning the iTunes client for Windows 98, Windows ME, Windows 95, for those adjusting.
Yeah, go for it. Throw them at my junk mail.
Let's see, once again, on the when we started planning the program, it looks like it was going to be a slow news week, and then all this G.I. Joe 2 news hit. So once again, we'll talk about that and Renegades. We just heard about Greg's impressions of Canada Con. Now, we'll find out maybe one of these days whether he'll go to the Big Joe Con or not. We expect you to now, Greg. It's pretty much a given.
Yeah.
Speaking of cons, we'll talk about a fairly new con called Coil Con, which I have zero involvement in, coming up, and we'll talk about we'll talk about that among other things. We'll debut a new segment this week called Watch Your Flank, which will go head to which will actually go head to head with each other. To talk about a firebrand topic on the community this week is a little tidbit that we picked up from Cybertron.com's TwinCast podcast, where they talked about combined JoeCon BotCon, and that's being on the G.I. Joe Collectors Club radar. So stick around. So we'll have the that and the first details of our pre-production Skystriker contest. That's right, we have a pre-prod Skystriker that we want to give away to a lucky listener. So stick around to the end, and we'll tell you how to win it. But first, before we get to the news, it's Greg with this week's mailbag. I see we may have touched a nerve about the OCS discussion we did last week. Greg, how's it go?
All right, here we go. Actually, the first question's a little off-topic, a little nicer, but this one's from Josh Pollack, who had some nice things to say about the podcast. And then he goes into his question. He says, I live in Japan, and Joes are not available at retail. I have my heart set on getting that amazing new Storm Shadow coming out this fall. What's the best way to get a single figure? I imagine prices will be higher for him because he's popular. Plus, there's the international shipping and all. But I've never ordered Joes online before. I usually found them in the wild. Can you guys recommend an e-tailer where I don't need to buy the whole case, just the one figure? Or should I try my luck on eBay? Or even just hope a fellow Joe Forum member will find an extra mail one to me? I missed out on lots of cool Pursuit of Cobra figures, so I absolutely don't want to miss this guy. I want to get one ASAP. Your advice will be greatly appreciated. Keep up the good work. I am listening during my long morning train rides here in Japan. Thanks for writing in, Josh. I'd say, I mean, if you want to get one individual figure, I don't know, eBay is probably your best bet, or if you can make some connections with someone here in the States and they can get you a hookup when something comes in. But if there's more than one figure that you like, I would definitely recommend getting a case from Small Joe's or BBTS or Hasbro Toy Shop, just because with the way the waves have been going lately, if you want to make sure you get the figures you want, getting an entire case is the way to go. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with that. If you're getting more than one figure, I mean, Small Joes and BBTS both sell individual figures, so you can conceivably buy them from either of those places. Just expect to, you know, pay a little bit extra in shipping. With Storm Shadow, I think Storm Shadow tends to be pretty heavily packaged and heavily shipped, so I don't think you'll have run into a big problem with him being overpriced or hard to come by. It is a very cool-looking figure, but it's going to be produced pretty heavily. So I think you'll probably be able to find him from either Small Joe's or BBTS for around $10, and you'll probably end up paying $10 or $12 in shipping to go to Japan. Or if you just want to make friends with a fellow buddy on a forum, then I have a sneaking suspicion Storm Shadow is not going to be all that hard to find. It usually isn't, even really cool versions of Storm Shadow. So those are probably your two best bets. I would say tops would be get a buddy to hook you up, but you can get them from BBTS or Small Joe's too individually.
There's also always maybe markets closer to home over in China. I don't know how the yen is versus the RMB, but there's always that option that I would look at just based upon proximity. But also you might be running a situation where it could be loose, could be incomplete, that type of thing. But ultimately your best bet would be to hook up with a fellow patriot over here, get taken care of. But if you want to look in markets closer to home, I do know that there's China, there's the Philippines, there's Singapore. But again, I don't know how the yen measures up against their currency and what shipping is like over there. But it's just a suggestion.
All right. And then going on to our second mailbag question. This one is from Kush Viper from His Tank. He says, good show, but I gotta say you guys kind of missed the point on the OSC part of the latest broadcast. I'm a huge old-school O-ring fan, and I would not want to see any new articulation added to these products. It would create a new category of figure body, kind of like the DTC stuff from 2004, that would have no place in anyone's collection. And then he says, I think it is only fair to bring this up in the next broadcast as a comment from a listener and a credit to the guys at the OSC. Thanks. So what do you guys think? I missed out on that discussion last week, but
Well, I think, first and foremost, I'm glad that Hasbro doesn't agree with that opinion, because if Hasbro agreed with the fact that you shouldn't add any extra articulation, all G.I. Joe figures would still be straight arm and would not have ball-jointed heads and would be pretty boring figures. I mean, Hasbro had a way of reinventing the articulation without impacting the vintage style, and I think, I don't think it's unreasonable to think they could do the similar thing with the OSC. I certainly don't. I don't want to say I don't care one way or the other. I do think, you know, Mike was a little bit over the, not over the top, but was kind of missing the point a little bit, that these are purely supposed to be vintage style figures, and that's really what these people are after. That's really appealing to me too, and I wouldn't want them to make any drastic changes in articulation that really change the aesthetic, but I do think they could enhance articulation without making them totally different figures. You know, swivel wrists and stuff like that, that's not going to affect how the figure looks. And Hasbro did it themselves. I mean, they gave them swivel arm battle grip in 83. They gave them ball jointed heads in 85. So Hasbro constantly reinvented the articulation as the toy line went on without making them totally separate types of figures. And I think the same thing could probably happen. I'm certainly not going to talk badly about them for not doing it, because I think the figures could look amazing and fit in really well with the vintage collection even without the additional articulation. And I don't think that's the point of these figures. These figures are not supposed to be, well, this is what the vintage figure would look like if today. It's supposed to be, well, this look like if the line continued the way it was back then. And I 100% support that, and I'm really excited to see what they do with that. It would be cool if they had some swivel wrists, just to add a little extra zip to the figures, but if they don't, it's not going to break my heart. I love the old-school C-grip. There's something really cool about the way those arms and hands are sculpted and really cool about that kind of style, and I have a feeling they're going to be able to do some really cool things. Even without articulation, I'm 100% on board. I can kind of just chuck it back. I think there's going to be a middle ground there. Like, you can add articulation without ruining the aesthetic of the figure. But, you know, Mike was probably a little bit, not, I don't want to say he was overly negative, but you know, just something to think about.
Well, I call it evolution. I mean, yeah, I know which figures you're talking about, the original straight arm figures. I mean, not just those going back into the, with the Black Hole figures for the Black Hole movie. They were O-ring with, like 5 points or 6 points of articulation. Same thing with the Buck Roger figures. Again, O-ring, but they didn't. Then it evolved with Hasbro in 83 with the swivel. And I don't think adding swivel wrists is going to take away. In fact, I believe they're going to do it, because at least I was told by one of them that this is an idea they're going to at least experiment with. Is it going to take away from the way it looks? Is it going to make, you know, their hands look bigger, smaller, or the wrists going to look bulkier than normal just to accommodate this? I don't know, but I don't imagine it's going to take away from the vintage look of the figure, and it's small bits of evolution. You know, we're not asking these things to be O-ring yet look like swivel chest at all, so... I'm all for little bits of evolution into the figure, and who knows, maybe Hasbro might have had something like this planned, that if the line continued on past 94, maybe we would have seen things like that. I don't know, but, you know, I have no problem with adding little bits of evolution into the vintage figures.
You know, it's funny because Mike and I were actually the ones who were saying, you know, they need to add the wrist, they need to add the ankle. I mean, when I hear people talk about O-rings, I assume for many that just basically meant they wanted figures with that metal hook, die-cast hook, with the rubber band up in the torso. I didn't really realize that O-ring was more about... covered the whole style, that whole look. You know, had I known that, and that's what people want, then fine. What these guys are doing is great with the OSC. I mean, is it something I would still go for? No, but that's just purely now a price issue. And, you know, if this is what people are willing to buy, then fine. And, you know, I apologize for not really understanding what was meant.
All your fault,
by the
Chuck.
Term,
it's all your fault.
By the term O-ring, you know that.
Yeah, I think when people kind of throw around the term O-ring, they just mean more of kind of that vintage aesthetic. And you got to understand when they talk about O-ring, I'm under the impression they really mean 85 to 94. nobody really wants them to spend a whole lot of time, I wouldn't imagine, trying to build this OSC method around the new sculpt stuff. So, yeah, they say O-ring. And actually, to be fair, the OSC most often uses the abbreviation RAH or ARAH, meaning Real American Hero or A Real American Hero. They don't necessarily use the term O-ring, and they're kind of referring to those old-school vintage figures.
All right. Well, we'll continue following the OSC stuff as they go along further and we see more pictures. But thanks for writing in, guys. Again, if you have any questions or want to see something for us to talk about during the podcast, you can always write into either Facebook or whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. And with that, we'll move on to the news for the week. The first bit is just a quick announcement about the CoilCon, which is what Gary mentioned that he has no affiliation with.
None. None whatsoever.
So it's the Midwest G.I. Joe Collectors Club convention. It's taking place on July 23rd in Kokomo, Indiana. It's hosted by Kokomo Toys, which is, as far as I know, it's one of the biggest G.I. Joe resellers in the country that has an actual storefront. And just some little bit of details about the convention. There is going to be an exclusive figure, which they just posted pictures of. 31 figures have been created. 25 of them will be on sale that day. So if you want one, you'll have to show up and purchase one. And then also, the schedule for the day, it sounds like it starts at about 9 o'clock in the morning with there'll be dealers buying and selling, trading, stuff like that. And then there'll be lunch and soda throughout the day, and then there'll be prizes for raffle prizes and drawing, stuff like that as well. So if you're in the Midwest and you'd like to get together with some other Joe fans, I think it's a great idea to get together and talk Joe and buy some stuff and check it out.
Got a new announcement, actually, that came down the pipe for CoilCon. We will have, as a grand prize raffle drawing, one each of the variant and regular release of the San Diego Comic-Con Zarana.
Very nice.
So if you want to have an opportunity to win one before the mighty Monday rush after Comic-Con, and if you're in the Midwest area and around Kokomo, come on to Kokomo Toys and grab a raffle ticket and try your luck. We'll talk more about CoilCon. We'll have Jay Hunger on from the Coil here in a couple weeks, and can talk more about it. But it's going to be a good time.
All right. Next up in the news, Sideshow Collectibles has announced a new statue for Snake Eyes and Timber. I'm not sure what exactly line this is. I know they give different terms to different types of statues. I'm not sure if this is the premium format or some other one, but it looks like a very, very cool statue, and there's also an exclusive version which has his knight head as a removable portrait, so you can have either the commando or the visor edition of it. I believe it is retailing for, what is it, $350 about? But if you want more information, we'll have a link in the show notes. But it's also available on Sideshow's
Speaking of, website. You're a couple show notes behind.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to play catch up for...
Okay, awesome. Good.
Yeah, I've been slacking lately. It's selling for $325, and then it does the...
Cut him some slack. He's going to be in prison for crying out loud.
Yeah, I didn't have much wireless in there.
Ouch.
Plenty of poon time.
Teen.
So Sideshow doesn't pay in.
Isn't that what I saw?
So if you can't afford the big lump sum, that's a good way to go.
Okay. And
that's about it for that. Next, a pretty cool piece of news. The Collectors Club has offered up the Pursuit of Cobra Cobra Commander figure, but it's the one that didn't get released that was supposed to be the mail-away figure. This is one that comes with the little drone, and supposedly it's also going to come with the letter from General Hawk. And
that is not confirmed yet. I actually checked with the Collectors Club today before the show, and they could not confirm it. And they're waiting for confirmation still from China, what it boils down to. So I'm not going to name names. I promised I wouldn't name any names, but they said they can't confirm it. So fortunately, we can't tell the masses, yeah, you'll get the letter in the mailer.
Really? I thought they said in the description in the online store that it actually came with that.
On the Facebook page, they said that they were trying to. They believed it came with it, and they weren't sure. I don't remember what the store said, and then I checked with the source today, and they're still not sure. So, hey, you know, at this point, you know, people, are they going to split hairs over not having the box and the letter? I mean, you're getting the drone.
I think that's the big thing. I mean, that's the big thing.
Yeah, that is the big thing.
I'm excited because, well, I mean, part of me is I don't want to say pissed off. I mean, I've got one, and I've had one for a while, and now mine is going to be more or less worthless. But, I mean, that I don't really care about that. I'm more excited by being able to get a couple extras and being able to open some of them and have little histrones that I can actually use. I think it's pretty cool.
And yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, I bought mine early too, and I paid a premium, not as much as that. I think the last one I saw on eBay go for like $400, which really made me consider probably wanting to sell my current one. But fans, you're getting a heck of a deal, and probably had to thank the club for this. Makes you wonder what other things in the Hasbro pipeline they might have access to. Mashiko bikes.
Yeah, I was just going to say. I mean, I think this might be an indication of some other cool things that they might be able to kind of get out there, which would be good.
Yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for those guys that, like, paid, you know, premium dollars for
Feel sorry for me.
Cobra Commander, you know, the guys who, you know, did it for, like, their websites and what have you.
Don't feel sorry for us. We've been in this game too long that when it comes to the Joe game and you see something like that and you're not really sure what's going on, there's a very simple rule to live by. Never hesitate. If you can do it, pull the trigger, go for it.
Yeah, the same thing happened with me with the Resolute figures. I bought a bunch of those Resolute test shots from Asia that ended up coming out in the 7-packs, and you pay a little extra, you take your chances, and whatever. If it, you know, personally, I'd rather the stuff be available for more people to get and enjoy, especially something like this. I mean, if a lot of people buy this and kind of put a tickler in the club's head that, you know, maybe some of this canceled product is more desirable than they think, then maybe, you know, above and beyond the subscription figures, we might see a little bit more of this type of stuff.
Oh, I was just trying to take a shot. I didn't realize you two were, you know, that mature. You know, to rise above it and all. But
imagine that.
You give us so much credit, Chuck.
All I will say is that I'm staring at one smiling face and two question marks who are members of the Joe Club that I firmly expect to hook a brother up. You know, so I'm not naming names, but I think you all should know who you are at this point.
You just insulted us by calling us mature, and now you want us to hook you up?
Well, for those that need the hookup, if you are a member of the club, it is $18. I believe you can get multiples, but they reserve the right to restrict how many more you get. If you are not a member, if you're just a trooper, then it's $35. And
which still isn't a bad deal, all things considered.
Agreed. Yep.
It's a heck of a lot better than $150,
And then the non-member price, which I thought I heard someone say that includes a membership, is $60.
That's generally what they do, yeah.
Okay. And then
it's essentially, if it's $60, you figure it's $38, or is it $48 for the membership? Or no, $42 for the membership.
$43, something like that,
And $18 for the figure itself. So you're essentially buying the membership and buying the officer-level priced figure.
Oh, yeah, you're correct. It says it right in the description. I can't read. All right. And then it says this item was scheduled to ship within 4 weeks of July 31st. So by the beginning of August, people should have a good idea of what it looks like.
Yeah, but I've been charged already.
Ooh, that's a good sign.
FYI, guys, just a little heads up from the other side of the spectrum. A certain other Collectors Club figure is being held up by customs coming from China. So if this is where those figures are coming from, you might want to add a couple weeks to that 4-week suggested wait period.
Okay.
All right, duly noted.
Okay.
So, all right, next up is our Renegades discussion for the week, discussing the last episode, which was called Cousins, starring Heavy Duty in addition to the regular Renegades cast and Major Blood. Did you guys get a chance to watch this episode yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
As much as I did.
Who's doing the voice of Heavy Duty?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's a guy named Kevin Ferguson. I don't really know him that well, except for the fact that I linked to his IMDb page in my Renegades profile of Heavy Duty. that I have on my Renegades little super page over there, the renegades.generalsjoes.com. And, you know, I couldn't, he's, you know, just looking at his IMDb page, he does have some voice acting credits, but I didn't really see where he was a really established name or anything like that.
Oh, because I kept thinking he was, it was Adam West.
Oh, really? No, it was not Adam West. No.
No. That's funny, though.
It's a good guess, though, Chuck. You're very close.
There were parts of it that, you know...
That like, sounded like a 70-year-old ex-Batman, I guess. I think
no, it sounded like Batman. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. I know that on Family Guy, most of it, what he does is an act, so that he still has like a normal-sounding voice, but I'm like... This can't be him. Why would they get him to do this? But then I'm like thinking, wait a minute. Because then I hear a little tinge of an accent, and I'm like, is it Clancy Brown? But I'm like, no, it can't be Clancy Brown, because, you know, he's already doing Destro, and I've never known him to be able to change his voice that much, but I was confused.
You certainly were if you thought it was Adam West.
Burt Ward as... Never mind.
Burt Ward as Roadblock.
Right, Burt Ward as Roadblock. I thought it was a really good episode. You know, once again, thanks Hasbro for putting this thing on hiatus. Because, you know, you look at toward the end of the show, do we have to preface this with spoilers once again?
I don't know. I mean, let's just warn people that we are going to talk about Renegades. There may be spoilers, so if you don't want to listen, fast forward about 10 minutes.
Yeah, we'll give you 10 minutes here, everyone fast forward, and, you know, we'll play a little fast forwarding music real quick, let people figure this out here. Remember, fast forward about 10 minutes, we should be done talking about Renegades. Okay, I think it should be enough. The end, the vehicles were awesome. I mean, it's a shame that, again, once again, this line, because Joe fans aren't smart enough to figure out the Renegades universe from the movie universe, we will not see what is obviously an updated version of the Water Moccasin. Some pretty cool one-man boats that could be like a devilfish, could not be like a devilfish. I don't know. They were really just kind of flash on a screen. But you had that. I think the whole dialogue between all the characters was good. The family aspect, the Tuskegee Airmen connection with the cousins was really cool. Now, how heavy duty guy's name? Okay, heavy duty is a poop joke. All right.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Now, we've already prefaced that. Major Blood was hardcore, man. I mean, you don't see it, but I mean, that croc takes his arm off based upon the look of the Baroness.
Oh, and yeah, and Major Blood
said... No, we saw it.
Choke on it when he's coming.
Choke on it, yeah, that's right, choke on it. I mean, this kind of sounds like, you know, something that you expect Schwarzenegger to say after right before he kills somebody in one of his movies, you know, choke on this or whatever. But just the whole thing, I mean, but now, you know, Major Blood has more in common with Captain Hook and Crocodile Dundee than with his classic character.
No, wait a minute, Gary. Wait a minute, because the thing is, you know, I was thinking it was kind of weird. First of all, you did see the stump, which surprised the heck out of me.
Well, I thought it was like holding the stump, but you didn't see any blood, and it was kind of out of frame. But then, you know, the Baroness gives him one of those, and then, you know, the whole time he's like hardcore walking out with, you know, a stump.
It was a quick shot, but, you know, if you realize, the first time we saw him, he lost an eye. Now he's lost the arm. You know, that means the next time we see him, this is going to be closer to the Major Blood we know. Because, you know, the original figure, you know, he had that robotic arm that was, you know, used to fire his rocket pistol.
Well, let's just hope we see him again within the next three episodes, or it's all going to be for nothing.
Pretty much, yeah. So much for that payoff. And then I think the best line for me, other than, other than the best line, the whole thing, other than choke on it, was... I'm not big on Snake Eyes, but he's going to bring out his katana and just lay waste to this crocodile. And basically, Roadblock says, don't kill it, just scare it.
Yeah, I like that too. I also was a big fan of, like Justin mentioned in his review, talking about the Falcons. Like, we got to see their logo, but I liked Heavy Duty's uniform. I think that looks pretty sharp, and that could translate well into a bunch of different mediums. I think it was distinctive.
That would make an awesome figure of Heavy Duty as a figure. Oh, yeah. Once again, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'd kind of upset that we're not going to see him in figure form, but alas.
Yeah.
But you find customizers out there at, like, Slayer, go right ahead. I'd buy it.
Sure. Yeah. No, do a whole Renegades line.
Oh, there you go, guys. 5% of all profits, you know, we can get us in. Anyways.
4 cents.
Oh, I'll take it.
All right.
Yeah, it was... I pretty much agree with everything Gary said. It was a really fun episode, really good episode. I liked how Roadblock and Heavy Duty kind of went back and forth because, I mean, they've been calling each other cousins, so to speak, ever since the Valor versus Venom days. I think they mentioned that Heavy Duty was his cousin way back then, yet on the file cards, one's from Chicago and one's from Biloxi, Mississippi, so they kind of rationalized that here by the whole country versus city angle, which is pretty neat.
One thing that, you know, it kind of got to me is that I noticed on the Facebook thread there were people saying how great it would be to have, like, the little swamp skier replica and the Cobra, you know, single driver hydrofoil boats and, you know, made like an update to the water moccasin. And, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know what, that would be kind of cool to see, but there's already so many vehicles from Renegades I'd like to see before that. You know, that's, I doubt we would ever see something from
this
episode.
It's not that I'd like to see it, and it's not that I must have it. It's the fact that we won't even get a chance to have it considered because they said, well, once again, and we'll kind of talk about this later on, I'm sure, when we start getting into this, to the BotCon JoeCon discussion, but it's Hasbro, for some reason, says that Star Wars people can handle multiple universes, Transformer people can handle multiple universes, but Joe fans, you cannot handle multiple universes, so you won't have a chance. We're going to introduce these Renegades toys, and that's it. Done. Here's your token amount. Oh, by the way, here comes a movie. Buy our stuff.
Yeah, but I think, you know, if we're just going to only see one vehicle... I mean, I don't think it would be the VTOL Black Dragon. So I think we will see something else, but I'm leaning more towards it to be the Joe's party wagon type of
vehicle. And I would be down for the party wagon.
Yeah, but who knows? We might see something after that because you figure, you know, Major Blood's truck. I mean, that really can be done from the new Vamp. You retool it a little, there you go. Or even better, the steel crusher from Rise of Cobra. You know, you can tweak that a little, and you've got Major Blood's, truck.
Now, and I don't know how much tweaking they would do on that. They would just probably repaint it and say Major Blood's truck.
I'm just telling myself that we're not going to get any more Renegades toys. That way, I'm not disappointed when it happens. So.
Probably the best way to approach it because
expectations are set. You cannot disappoint me anymore. Thank you.
Exactly. Yep.
And no matter what happens, you're like, hey, that's better than I expected.
Yeah, that's way better than I expected. This is awesome.
All right. So we only have a couple more weeks of Renegades, but we'll keep you guys up to date on the new episodes as we go on. And moving on to our last bit.
And I don't know. Well, I don't know how much more you want to. I don't mean to hijack what you're talking about, but they also IMDb did post a potential spoiler for the last episode of Renegades, or the last two-parter of Renegades. I don't know if we want to talk about that now, or if we want to hold off on that, if that's a little bit too much spoiler, or what do you think?
I've successfully remained spoiler-free, so if we do talk about it, I will just go la 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 the entire time.
Well, no, it's okay. We don't have to talk about it. It's IMDb anyway, so this was the same site that announced that Ray Park was going to be voicing Snake Eyes in this last episode of G.I. Joe Renegades, and Snake Eyes never spoke, so... It may not even be that reliable. I just thought it was kind of an interesting point, but we, you know, it's not people can go to, you know, generalsjoes.com to see the news story, or just go to IMDb and look up G.I. Joe Renegades, and they have a little episode description for episode 25, which is Revelations Part 1, which is a pretty cool little description. So if people want to check that out, they should.
Okay, and we'll definitely talk about it after we watch the episode, for sure.
Sure.
And remember, if you really get bent out of shape over spoilers, I have a spoiler for you. You will die alone.
Very uplifting.
Cold-blooded. All right. Final bit of news is about G.I. Joe 2. We have two new members for the cast that have been not confirmed but rumored.
One of them has been confirmed, actually.
Oh, yep, that's right. Flint is now officially confirmed.
And Rock confirmation. Rock is actually officially confirmed now.
That too. Yeah. Well, that was. I mean, if he hinted at it, I think we can pretty much assume that was going to happen.
Well, we've been waiting on kind of the official word, but yeah. Don't worry, Chuck. The music is playing in the background. Do you want to go ahead and give any of his? While you're at it, you know, we're actually running ahead of schedule. Do you just want to go ahead and give us a run of his catchphrases while you're at it?
Let the Chuck tell you a little story about a little Justin, a little Gary, and a little Craig. And they were fighting over a ball. Little Justin said, "I want to play with the ball." Little Gary said, "No, it's my ball." And little Greg said, No, I had the ball first." Well,
I don't like where this is going.
Little Chuck came along and said, "Give me that ball." Yes, puberty came early for Little Chuck. And Little Chuck took that ball, shined it up real good.
Oh, Lord help me. Folks. He's making the shining motion with his hand.
Yeah, this is an audio cast. Audio cast.
He took that ball. And he turned it sideways. He lined the little Justin, little Gary, and little Greg up, and he politely played a nice game with them because this is a family program, and I already slipped once tonight, so I'm not going to do it again. You smell what the Chuck is cooking.
Very good, Chuck. Very, very good. Nicely done.
A little golf clap I'm doing for you. A little golf clap for you.
Yeah, we'll cue in some applause right there for you, Chuck. Anyways, the other two members that are possibly rumored or confirmed are?
We have DJ Catrona has been confirmed as playing Flint. Well, as being in the movie. I don't know if it's been confirmed that he's playing Flint or not, but that's what the rumor is. And then rapper-turned-actor RZA from Wu-Tang Clan will be playing the Blind Master. So what do you guys think of these casting decisions?
Well, first and foremost, newsflash, G.I. Joe fans, the Blind Master is black. Okay?
No, everyone, strap yourself in. This is a rant alert right here.
For folks rant who haven't been... folks who haven't been paying attention for the last, 25, 27 years or so, there was a character called the Blind Master.
This is an official newsflash? Is this official newsflash?
Yeah. Hey, it seems like it. There's a lot of fans out there that don't seem to realize this. But there was a guy named the Blind Master who was running around back in the Marvel days, and he was African-American. So it's not some big major catastrophe that they are now casting an African-American to play him. They're not denigrating the history of G.I. Joe by doing this, no matter what some fans out there might think. And that really gets to me sometimes, because people ask, you know, why doesn't Hollywood listen to us? Why doesn't Hollywood pay attention? Why don't they ask us what we want? Well, that's why, because there's too many people out there ranting and raving about stuff they don't remember, making big kind of fools of themselves by proclaiming that this is the worst casting decision ever made. You know, why are they making the Blind Master black before somebody tells them two posts later, smart guy, the Blind Master is black.
It's a classic situation of RTFM, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
If you don't know what that means, RTFM, Google.
You're not
it.
In IT if you don't know what
you
that
means. You don't know.
it irks me because Hollywood is never going to survey the fans and say, "What do you want? We're going to do whatever you guys want." That's just not going to happen. They're going to do whatever makes the money, and 9 times out of 10, that doesn't involve what a very small subset of 250 to 500 people really cares about. But, I mean, this chance, you know, they were kind of doing some Twitter things back and forth. You know, they're asking for input. Yeah, it was probably all PR. But then we got to come out there and we got to start ranting and raving about this casting choice for the Blind Master and saying, well, you know, why are they making him a black guy? And he is a black guy. I mean, you're just proving that we're ranting and raving about the most inconsequential stuff. I mean, can't we just focus on whether or not the guy's a good actor? Can't we just focus on whether or not the story is actually going to be good? I mean, I know so many people point back to Ripcord and Marlon Wayans. Yes, I agree. I did not like Marlon Wayans' Ripcord. Was it because he was black? No, it was because he was Marlon freaking Wayans. That's why. And that's what the difference is. Who is playing him? And the race is inconsequential. You know, the name is inconsequential. It's, are they a good actor? Can they portray a good story? Can they, you know, follow the director's lead, and will they make a quality product? And really, that's all that's important. I mean, let's look at Channing Tatum. You know, he's a white guy with blonde hair and blue eyes. Yeah, he looks like Duke. He sucked. And it had nothing to do with what race he was. He was the quote-unquote correct race, and he sucked. So what's more important, the race, the look, or the acting? And to me, it's the acting. And if it takes somebody who's a slightly different...
I think most everyone, again, we were kind of talking about earlier, set your expectations a notch lower. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with how this thing turns out. We know that John Chu's not there because he's a good director. He's just kind of there. That's exactly what he's doing, is directing. This is not his vision. He's got someone's script. He's directing, you know, what right. the guys wrote. So, you know, keep that in mind. But also take a step down in your expectations. You'll find yourself are going to be a lot less stressed out over this type of stuff. Watch it for what it is. And I think Rizzo is going to do an awesome job in this particular role. I mean, if I think of, you know, going back and reading my old issues, I mean, the Master was, he knew, you know, four steps before it happened, he was that badass. And I think Rizzo can fill that role. I mean, that's all he really needs to do, and that's great. I think he can definitely fulfill it. And in terms of DJ possibly filling in as Flint, I mean, I watched him on 187. He seemed like that he's, you know, kind of a rookie badass detective type thing. And, you know, this is another young face that has played in an action type genre that's going to put him back in the front of things. So far, I'm mostly happy with the – I'm actually happy all the way around across the board on a lot of these casting decisions so far. I mean, you're not going to get – I mean, and forget it. You're not going to get Charlton Heston for this movie. I mean, besides he's dead, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you're not going to get the A-list action stars. The fact that we got Rock is awesome, you know, but everyone else seems to be all right.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not just expectations. It's putting things into perspective. I mean, let's face it. The Blind Master was, you know, Snake Eyes and, well, or it sounds like he's going to be Snake Eyes and Jinx martial arts instructor. That's not how it worked in the comics, but it sounds like that's kind of what he's going to be. How much screen time do you really think he's going to get? Like 10 or 15 minutes, maybe?
A flashback?
Yeah. It's so really wasting all this energy on complaining about, number one, an inaccurate complaint because it's not true, and number two, a guy who's going to appear in the movie for like 10 minutes. You know, and I agree with you on DJ. I think that's actually, and I'm not saying his last name, not out of disrespect, but because I'm worried I'm going to mispronounce it.
Yeah, same here.
I was probably one of the very few people that was really a big fan of Detroit 187. I liked that show a lot. I'm not really big on the whole cop, serial cop drama usually, but for some reason I really enjoyed that show. And he wasn't the strongest person on that show, but he was a credible actor. Once again, he looks the part, and I think he's capable of doing some drama, some good action. And I think he's got some potential to be a good actor and to fit this role well. So I'm looking forward to what he's going to do. And you know, I hate saying set your expectations low because I don't want people to sit there and bitch for the next year. But in the way, you're right as well. I mean, let's look at the first movie and kind of try to not necessarily set our expectations low, but set them realistically and keep things in perspective. I'm not trying to puff myself up here, but I can't think of a whole lot more people that have more invested in this property and this fandom than I do. I've spent way too much time for the past 30 years on this whole brand, invested way too much energy, way too much time into it. But you got to keep it in perspective. It's a movie about a toy line. Yes, it's not going to be an Oscar-winning, you know, drama that's going to move you to tears or anything like that, but it's, you know, as long as it entertains you for a couple hours and promotes the brand, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think ultimately The Rise of Cobra didn't do that, and that's probably my major complaints with it now, is that it brought the brand a little bit backwards, But it seems like they're trying to make up for that to some extent. And I think we got to give them a chance. Instead of just ranting and raving, you know, with every single casting decision that's made, let's give them a chance.
I think so far so good. I think so far so good.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think they've made some good choices. I'm not wild about Channing Tatum. I think they could have done better. But, you know, I'm happy with The Rock. I'm really happy with The Rock. I'm happy with Lodi Young. I'm happy with DJ. I'm happy with RZA. Everything so far looks good to me, and I'm certainly on board and eagerly awaiting to see what happens next. And I just think the fans who jump to all these conclusions and just freak out, they're the reasons why Hollywood doesn't take us seriously and why they will never take us seriously, because, you know, they see all of that stuff. They see the reactionary stuff. They don't see, you know, if it's a 35-page thread, they don't see the 8 or 9 pages of people, you know, discussing things rationally. They see the 2 or 3 pages of people acting like maniacs, because that's what really stands out. So let's just look at ourselves and kind of keep things in perspective and see if we can maybe be a little bit more rational about it. I know I'm probably asking the impossible, but I was just really disappointed looking at some of the online forums today. And just, you know,
I think it's reactionary. I think give them some time and distance, they'll forget. And then when the movie I guess it wasn't that bad. I mean, Chuck.
Yeah,
Chuck, what do you think on this side? Because you didn't read the comics, so the Blind Master's histories, you know, doesn't mean as much to you. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, personally, Chuck doesn't care. Now, Charles, on the other hand, my issue is that I kind of have an issue with the fact that this guy from Wu-Tang Clan, and I understand, hey, you know, the guy's got to work and all, but, I mean, he was part of some songs that I found were very offensive, and, you know, we're talking about killing cops, anti-military, and I just think, you know, putting him in a G.I. Joe film is a little off, but... You know, he's probably going to be in the film for 30 seconds and that. The one thing that I actually am a little more concerned about is the fact that you, Justin, and I all like the same show, Detroit 187. So, you know, it's a little scary right there.
So you guys are the reason it stayed on for as long as it did?
Yeah, basically.
Well, only one season, so it probably wasn't.
We were the three guys watching it every week.
Well, yeah, I think it's pretty much they advertised the hell out of it during V.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was on after V, yes.
Yes.
Captured a lot of the nerd demographic.
And what happened to V?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, RZA has... And I see, you know, people not just complaining about his race, but always, oh, yeah, it's a rapper. What does he know? Well, he's been in some good films. He's been in some pretty reputable films. And he was in Ghost Dog with Forest Whitaker that got some critical acclaim. So it's not like he's going to come in and put on the Blind Master robe and be rapping and acting like an idiot. It's, you know, there's reasons they did this. Of course, you know, I know the first thing people are going to say, well, you made that excuse about Marlon Wayans, too. And yes, I did back then. You know, he had just come off a pretty intense drama about drug use, and I thought maybe he'd bring some of that to the table. Well, he didn't. He was ridiculous, like Marlon Wayans always is. And you know, so my bad on that one. But, I'm willing to give it a shot. That's, I guess, what my point is.
Couple strikes, Justin.
Well, I'll wait and I'll watch Marlon Wayans fail. I'm not going to assume he's going to fail ahead of time. I'll wait and I'll watch it. And after it happens, I'll say, yeah, Marlon Wayans failed. But I'm not going to rant and rave for 12 months ahead of time saying, Marlon Wayans sucks, he's going to fail. I'll wait until he does it, and then I'll point it out when he does.
It'll be one of those, I told you so. That's right. I told you so. All right.
And that does it for the news for the week, I believe.
I got to go to bed. I'm tired.
Well, next up to our world-famous new segment called Watch Your Flank.
Watch Your Flank.
I don't even know which of you two is going to discuss this.
Gary, you watching your flank?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm watching my flank. I'll just put it at that. Well, no, actually, if anybody can pick any side they want to get on this. Actually, it was reported to us from Chuck. He said that he heard this on the Cybertron Twincast, number 22. I went ahead and transcribed it. going off the assumption that not everyone heard it. But about 20 minutes in, about 20 minutes, 45 seconds in, John 3.0, who was on the show, said that they were talking with Pete Sinclair from the G.I. Joe Collectors Club at the show. And I tried to write down as much of, type down as much of this as he said, but he said, we just came right out and asked Pete whether there's going to be a HasbroCon, because it seems to be getting so big. We keep hearing rumors and speculation that they're going to combine Joe with Transformers, because Transformers would be able to bring G.I. Joe up. Well, I have issue with that right there, but anyways, continuing. And he, Pete, is like, well, it's one of those ideas that we know it is such a good idea when we're going to... It's such a good idea, we're going to get rid of all the other good ideas until we have no good ideas left, and then do it. Okay, so we use the word ideas too many times. So basically, it's like, paraphrasing what he said, and what Pete responded as, once we run out of ideas, we know it's great, but once we run out of ideas, then we'll consider something like this. Then he goes on to ask about G.I. Joe crossover toys, and he says, and we came out and asked him about the G.I. Joe crossovers. Says Pete, that's something we've been playing with for so long, and we know it's a great idea, and we're so close to it already with these Human Alliance figures and these other things. It is just changing the name on the packaging, and instantly you have a G.I. Joe Transformer crossover. He said it again, it's one of those ideas that it's just so good that they know they'll be able to make a profit on it, so why not exhaust it and get rid of all the other good ideas first? He said it's basically one of those things that once they have nothing else to come up with to make money off of, then they'll go ahead and do G.I. Joe and Transformer crossovers. It was not a no, it was more of a yes eventually. Okay, out to you guys. Number one, what do we think of a combined JoeCon Transformer Con? And number two, what do we think about all these supposed toy crossovers? And send it around the room, and we can debate it here for a little while until Greg says stop.
Well, Gary, to clarify one bit, it wouldn't just be Transformers G.I. Joe. It would actually be Transformers G.I. Joe and My Little Pony.
They said it would be a HasbroCon, and they did mention that.
Because My Little Pony's there, I'm in.
wait a minute. I mean, the reason being is My Little Pony is, I think, behind Barbie, the number two girls brand. So, I mean, there is a lot of popularity. It's just that they haven't really – they don't have a club for it. There isn't a convention for it. So, really, I mean –
I thought there was. I thought there was an unofficial My Little Pony, because I thought they had it in Vegas.
Well, wait a minute. I'm talking official, backed by Hasbro.
Not that I'm a connoisseur of that or anything, but I thought I read that someplace.
I'm talking official, backed
by
Hasbro.
My Little Pony Monthly, you're a subscriber?
For my daughter, of course. He's the editor.
Of course. I know you got a little miffed by the whole, you know, Transformers would bring G.I. Joe up. Well, don't be surprised that if, you know, My Little Pony brings everybody else along, because there's a lot of people, men and women, who for some reason or another are obsessed with this new My Little Pony cartoon.
Hey, the guys at the Fooshcast were able to do a 2-hour-plus episode on My Little Pony, so I don't doubt you at all. But really, okay, there's a time and a place for a HasbroCon, and that's called San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, no, because San Diego Comic-Con, you got Marvel, you got DC, you got all the other comic book companies, you got properties.
Chuck, you've never been to a JoeCon, right?
No.
Okay.
No,
as someone that's never been to a JoeCon, or have you been to any con? Anyone in the New York City area?
No.
Okay. This is JoeCon, and Justin, you could speak in because you've been to one of these, and maybe yep. Greg can speak in because of Canada. It's one of those times a year that I want to go, I want to enjoy myself, I want to be with my friends, I want to talk about my hobby. I don't really want any other outside influences distracting, getting in my way, taking away from any bit of my experience. And if it sounds selfish, yes, it is selfish, because this is my money and this is my con. I do not want to share my con with anybody. And that's flat out what I'm saying right here. And if someone from Hasbro is listening, I guarantee I'm not the only person that feels this way. I'm not going to say I'm the part of this of a vocal majority or even a silent minority, but I guarantee that if you combine the con, you're going to lose a lot of people. You might make up for it in some areas, but you're going to lose some people as a result. And I just do not want to share, not certainly with My Little Pony, but certainly not with Transformers either.
Yeah, well, Gary, let me get this, make it clear. I mean, there's only two reasons why I would want to see a combined convention. Number one, because I know there's a lot more people out there that think like you do. And basically, just so I could stand in the middle of some, like, lobby or something, grab a Joe fan, grab a Transformer fan, join hands with them, and start singing the Coca-Cola song. You know, I'd like to teach the world to sing. And to just have everybody join in. The second reason, which I think would be even better.
I sing that because I don't like Kumbaya.
Basically, you know, you get a Joe fan and a Transformer fan squaring off, ready to fight. I come in the middle, and then all of a sudden we do the final chorus and dance routine from Michael Jackson's Beat It. You know, that's it. That's the only reason I would want to see a joint convention. But
does stuff like this keep you up at night, Chuck?
Not really, but I think
it's going to keep me up tonight.
Now, let me ask you something, Gary, and I'm saying this as a serious question. If it was the difference between either having a joint Hasbro convention with its three top properties or no convention at all, what would you want to choose?
Oh, I'm going to Canada. There's a C on that one because they're still going to have theirs.
I figured you were going to say that.
Nothing's ever easy with Gary.
You're not the first person to say that.
You know, because honestly,
his wife says it every day. I think
pretty much.
You know, because I mean, let's be honest. I have a little insight on how these clubs run, and I know it's not as bad as hand to mouth, but it is like there really isn't a lot of cushioning. So, and they're always looking for a way to save money. So, if this is some way that they could end up saving money in the long run, I can understand why they would want to do it. Personally, I'm not a convention guy. I mean, in general. I mean,
well, yeah, you want to stab people every time you go.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, it's just that, you know, I like being an island onto myself. I like being the only guy I know into certain things. And then just being around other people who are like that, it kind of takes away the individualism of it all.
Chuck is the original hipster.
Bite your tongue, Greg. I hate that word with a passion.
I was a geek
before
geeks.
All you hipsters know, so. Hate being called hipster. It's okay. It's just
Chuck. Oh, yeah. But you know, but I can see, you know, sort of where they're coming from. But like we said, this could really be years and years down the line, because you figure, as it is right now, there isn't going to be a fourth Transformers movie. So I give it 2 to 3 years before that.
Yes, there is.
There is?
Oh, I'm sure that there is. Yeah, this thing, it's a multi-billion-dollar property. Michael Bay's leaving doesn't mean it's going to end.
I only heard it was signed on to be a trilogy, and that was it.
Yeah, but I'd be shocked if there wasn't another movie in the works.
Well, this is opening week, and with the previous two films, opening week is when it was announced that there would be a next film. Mm-hmm. So if you don't hear something by this week, I'd be very surprised to see if there's a Transformers 4. But if that's it, there isn't another movie, I see in 2 to 3 years BotCon going back down to the numbers it was before the movie, which – you know, surprise, let you guys in on a little secret, wasn't that great to begin with, you know. I mean, JoeCon and BotCon were actually much closer together in terms of attendance. And depending on how G.I. Joe 2 does, I mean, we could see it there where it's like, you know, if the numbers go down, it just might not be cost effective to run them as separate conventions.
Well, I'll shock of all shocks, I'll agree with Chuck that, and to a certain degree, from a financial standpoint, I could see why they would want to do it, for a financial and a logistical standpoint. I mean, obviously, just looking at it from those perspectives, it'll save them money, it'll probably save them a headache to just kind of worry about scheduling one big con and not worry about it. But from a personal perspective, I'm on Gary's side. You know, I go to JoeCon because I want to go to JoeCon, and I know, I mean, there's something to be said for walking into the sales floor and looking through a crowd and being able to pick out every fourth person in the crowd and talk to them and, you know, somebody you've been seeing for 8 years in a row. I went to BotCon in 2007, and it was a swarm of people, and I didn't really know anybody. So, you know, I think some of the nice, friendly, intimate spirit of JoeCon could be lost.
You know, and the same thing with me, because I did a day a general admin at Cincy, and it was the exact same thing with me. I mean, I went there with people that I knew from, you know, the local Joe collectors that went there. I think the only person I knew on the entire floor, other than the convention staff, was Jay Cochran from TNI. Everyone else was a complete freaking stranger.
Yeah, I think Patrick Stewart was at the one that I went to, and a couple other guys from that neck of the woods. So I had a little group of people that I kind of hung out with, and Kevin Watts was there, and some guys like that, and some of the buddies that I went with. But still, yeah, compared to the large, massive crowd, it was a pretty small little group.
By the way, can I just chime in on something Justin said? He mentioned the word logistics, and I'm actually saying this as a compliment. If they merge, the convention would benefit from the logistics used to run JoeCon, because I never hear complaints about how JoeCon handles the distributions of the convention sets, the lineup, and stuff like that. BotCon every
year. So you're just not paying attention, Chuck. That's all.
Never mind. Yeah.
It's a disaster.
Remember when they the 12-inch sets and a shipping time?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's not so much a disaster these days because, frankly, attendance is down a little bit. But there was times, I think 2004 in Orlando
was a monster
achievement of horribleness. Yeah. They didn't have a credit card scanner, and people were lined up until like 11 o'clock at night before they could even pick up their sets. And yeah, Gary's right. There was a year where the 12-inch stuff didn't even arrive on time. There was no convention sets for the 12-inch guys when they got there. So there's still the logistical issues. You know, a lot of it is probably beyond the club's control. But I do see your point. I don't think using the JoeCon side of things is necessarily good, but I think if they focus their logistics on one massive con, they could probably prevent some of those issues from coming up. Although, on the other hand, you know, if they don't beef up their staff and they've only got a couple core people working there, and they're all of a sudden having to work on two convention sets simultaneously,
everybody's grandma.
Yeah, that could actually make the logistics a little bit
now,
trickier.
Now, be nice to the ladies. Be nice to the ladies. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Angie.
I'm just repeating what I heard, that the people who work the lines at the conventions and who sometimes answer the phones in the office are actually staff members' grandmothers who come in and volunteer their time, or mothers, depending on the age.
I don't think that's so much – and now we're getting way off topic of it. I don't think it's so much the case anymore, but I do know the helpful phone gals of Kathy and Angie, who have helped me out many, many times. Thank you very much. And I do know at least one of them listens to the show. So,
ooh.
Yes.
So, how you doing?
Is she single? I mean, I'm the only one who's available.
It's someone's grandma. Come on.
Come on.
But she's got access to G.I. Joe toys, man. Come on.
Hey,
priorities here.
But, take it for all glory.
You know, here's my take on the whole thing. Number one, like I said, a lot of my thought doesn't have any justification other than the fact that this is my con, this is my convention, this is my hobby. So my, it sounds like a lot of selfishness going on here. It sounds like a three-year-old.
We're used to it with you, Garrett. Sorry.
That's okay. No, but I don't know. I'm trying not to say the wrong thing. I will say the breed of collector is different. I will say that Joe collectors, I will give Transformer collectors this. You guys will pretty much, not you, Chuck, but the average collector will pretty much buy whatever everything is offered and sometimes doubles and feel okay with it. Joe collectors will look at an eight-figure wave and go, I like five of them. The rest of them, I'll just let sit. Now, I'm the type of collector that's going to – I see eight, I grab eight. That's just me. I am the atypical or the untypical, excuse me, Joe collector, where I'm going to grab everything I see, and then I'm also into the overseas market and the prototype market and the pre-prod market and all that stuff. Not the average Joe collector is going to be like that. Joe collectors, sorry guys, we tend to be cheap. There's no way around that. And ultimately, I think that might hurt us in the long run, especially if they start considering these things like that. The good thing about this year's set is it sold out, and it sold out quickly. I think that if they continue to sit on sets like they have in the past, something like this may make a stronger case in the future. We're like, the Joe guys aren't buying all their stuff. Let's combine them with the – and even the 12-inch sets didn't sell out. You know, the 12-inch and the 3 3/4 guys aren't buying the stuff, so we're going to combine you with the robot fans. Now, the interesting take on this is I don't even know how the 12-inch fans would take to this. They would probably just stop coming altogether, I'm willing to bet.
Most of them already have, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And I think God love the 12-inch guys because they are the forefathers of our hobbyists, our present-day Joe that we know it right now. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, they don't like change very much. And if they were to have to share the aisles with people dressed, you know, in boxes with foil to, you know, look like a robot, I don't know what they would really do. But I'd be interested.
The ones that really transform.
And interesting thing is I was reading on another Transformers forum that actually was responding to an article that I wrote on your site, Justin, where they said, you know, a combined con. And someone said, well, you know, I see a lot of Joe people dressing – or I see a lot of Joe characters dressing up at BotCon. Well, you know why? Because those costumes are a hell of a lot easier to make.
No kidding.
So I would not say that people that come dressed in cosplay stuff is any indication of – wanting to combine the two. What I don't want is I feel our hobby is strong enough. When you have folks that participate as strongly as they do on the boards, within the community, and these projects that we see going over and over, I feel strongly we do not need a crutch, a Hasbro crutch of any kind, in order to prop ourselves up and to have a convention. Canada is a prime example of that. We do not need Transformers. We do not need crossovers in order to prop this hobby up and say, oh, well, let's inject a little bit of life here. No, we do not need any of that. And people that think we do not understand the Joe side of the hobby as much as myself or Justin and Greg and Chuck do. Because we are plugged in. We understand the side of the hobby. We don't necessarily need these things. I remember when FunPub had the Joe license before they got Transformers. The numbers really aren't that far off. I mean, the Pinnacle is 2004, but after that, the numbers have been kind of about the same, up and down a little bit. But this year was a big spike. And I think with what we got planned coming from the club down the pike, you got the subscription set still coming out. We're probably looking at another strong convention set. I hope they name a site here really soon. But I think the future for the JoeCon, in my opinion, is a little bit brighter than most people are willing to admit.
Yeah, I think this past JoeCon did wonders for kind of what they can do, what they're going to do. You know, like it or not, you know, I've been a big fan of the O-Ring, but the sets were starting to suffer a little bit from having a lack of tooling, and I think being able to kind of branch off into the more modern stuff did wonders for them. Not only for their creative process, but also for making something that the fans are really whole hog into. I was frankly a little surprised that the set sold out quite as quickly as they did. I had a feeling they probably would sell out, but I didn't think they'd blow through them quite that quickly. But I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing when sets sell out.
Well, you know, what I like about that is I think finally some of the newer collectors that came into the hobby, the 25th modern era collectors that weren't heavy into the vintage like we are. We still have all the vintage. They got rid of it, and then they end up coming back.
I think the Blind Master is white or Asian.
No comment. I think they finally put their money where their mouth is, and they kept saying if they came out with the 25th set or a modern era set, I would get it. Club says, here you go, and they did. Now, for whatever reason, it wasn't like that in 2009. I don't know if that's because movie was involved or whatever, but it took a little bit longer for the Crimson Strike redo to go to sell through. But this year, new collectors put their money where their mouth is.
I think that Crimson Strike set is still available in the club store, isn't it?
Yeah. What a shame.
The International Heroes stuff went through, but I mean, my problem with the Crimson Strike set was always not that it was modern tooling, was that
lack of imagination, lack of inspiration.
Just a redo of something we already got, and I think that's probably what hurt it more than the format itself. But
and there's still speculation on whether or not the club had complete control over decision for that set. We won't even get into that here and there, but I'm looking at the John's 3.0 statement, and I don't think that we need Transformers to bring us up. Mm-hmm. I think that was just said by a Transformers collector just coming off the euphoria of going to their convention. I respect his position and his hobby. Apparently, he's highly placed, and people have a high opinion of him. But and even I did my due diligence. I went to the club right away, and I'm like, look, you're not really talking seriously about this. And the answer is, it was taken out of context. As long as the club is going to be, you know, up, straight up, and truthful with us, and this is not going to really be the case, and they're not going to bombard us with crossovers and crap that I really don't think that we need in order to have this hobby stand up and be proud, you're going to find me a happy guy. But the second we start crossing in and out, without any real justification other than the fact that, oh, we need Transformer fans to prop up our side of the hobby, I'm going to be a loud and vocal person. So some people know how loud I can get, but...
Gary, you had 3 points I wanted to touch on. Number one, and you know what you said about being a little selfish, this is my convention, my event, yeah, me. Let me tell you, there's plenty of Transformer fans who feel the same way you do, and the reason being is, and I know this isn't the case for you, but there are some people who, the day after BotCon, they start saving for the next year. And they have to, or else they won't be able to go.
Yeah,
these are people who
I wish you know, Joe collectors were half that smart. Every year, oh, I can't afford to go. You've known for a year.
You know, I mean, and keep
Justin.
In mind,
oh, sorry, Justin.
These are people who are like hardcore fans.
Yeah, I heard that.
The only toys they have are the ones that they get, like the convention set, because they can't afford to buy anything during the year. So I can completely understand the selfishness, and I think you have a right to say that. Number two, the 12-inch collectors, I mean, I really hope that they don't get driven off, because I'll say this right now. Without the 12-inch collectors, there would be no Transformers, period. And there's historical, and I have proof to back that up. So, you know, that...
Well, without the 12-inch collectors, there wouldn't be any of us, period. I mean, carried the line back then, and they...
Yeah. So everyone go to thetrenches.com and write them a big thank you thread.
Yeah. I mean,
give them a big old sloppy kiss.
There you go.
Lots of tongue.
No poutine, no. We don't want that.
Poutine.
Poutine. Darn it, I was afraid of screwing up, and I slipped out.
You did. Big time, man.
Well, I tell you what, we can always add your thoughts to the Facebook page or what have you. But I'd be really curious to see what the rest of the fandom thinks. So if you have your take on a combined convention, good or bad, agree, disagree, doesn't really matter, send an email to whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. We'd love to read about it. But hopefully this first... first time we've tried Watch Your Flank was a good, honest, and intellectual discussion,
Gary,
considering this topic.
Did you want to touch upon a little the other part of the statement where they were talking about the Human Alliance toys and how, like, what we could see as a combined toy line?
If they're talking about that Human Alliance stuff, that stuff doesn't count. I mean, those figures are like 2 inches tall, and slap a G.I. Joe logo on that, it doesn't mean jack to me.
I came up with an idea. You know, you're absolutely right, because I came up with an idea how they could do it. This is keeping in mind that this is mass retail, which I don't think it would be. I think they were just talking about a strictly Joe Transformer crossover set for a convention. But if it was mass retail, there's no way you could make... a affordable Transformer that could hold a 3¾-inch figure. So what I would see is the Human Alliance figures would be the Joe with Transformer. Then you would have the separate 3¾-inch figure, you know, that line, and then you would have the separate, you know, normal, larger scale transforming robot, you know, and that the real main combined part would be the Human Alliance. So you would have Duke with a Jeep that could transform, then you would have Duke as a separate figure, and that Jeep would be his, you know, separate robot or however you would want to run it. But
yeah, I could see how that would play out, but I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be a neat twist if they kind of added it here or there, but I don't need a full-blown crossover line. Not interested.
And we got to wrap this up because I think we're running a little long on time. But
there is just one thing I wanted to add that I just realized. That
sure.
I'm just, they haven't announced where BotCon is yet next year. They haven't announced where JoeCon is next year. I know for BotCon, they announced this year's BotCon during the awards dinner at last year's BotCon. So mm-hmm. I don't know how they did that with JoeCon.
We're used to it. I mean, it's very rare that they ever announce. Kansas City, the Providence was one.
Getting nervous.
No, San Francisco to Orlando was one. Orlando to Minneapolis was another. And then, like I said, KC to Providence. But mostly, we walk out of the place, you know, not even a clue, and savage jokes. Oh, it's going to be in Alaska. Every year, mm-hmm. same joke. It was funny the first time, not funny anymore, but I guess it's not funny to him anymore.
I don't know if it was even funny the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess when you get asked the same question by everybody.
Right.
But as long as it's any place but Indianapolis, I am game. And that's another discussion that I can be more than happy to get on. Why you don't want to have a convention in your hometown. I know I would be in a losing party on that one.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of fun going to JoeCon in Providence a couple of years ago. That was a pretty unusual experience, be able to drive down and enjoy myself for a weekend and drive back without dealing with planes or 12 to 20 hour drives and stuff like that.
I like travel.
All right, and that wraps us up for our first Watch Your Flank segment. Like Gary mentioned, if you want to give your inputs or have any questions about what we talked about, feel free to write on the Facebook wall or email us. You know the website, or you know the email address by now, hopefully.
What's on Joe Mine at gmail.com.
Yeah, there we go.
It's radio. You got to tell them over and over and over.
How it's in their heads.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So.
All right. Now on to our first contest.
Oh, it's Sky Striker time. Okay. Let's see if we can get everything to work properly here. All right, hey gang, who's here is excited about the upcoming 30th anniversary Sky Striker?
Oh yeah!
Don't speak all at once.
You betcha,
Chuck.
I dream about it in my sleep.
That and Poontine.
Poontine.
Yeah.
Yes,
hey, I can tell you what, I know I am, and to celebrate the Hasbro re-releasing of the most dominant American and Joe aircraft of the 80s, the infamous Fleet Defender. The F-14 Tomcat is a Joe-designated the Sky Striker. We here at What's on Joe Mine will be giving away a pre-production version. And when I say pre-production, I mean no stickers, loose fitting. It's like what you would expect not to pull out of a box. But anyways, we will be giving away a pre-production version to a listener that can answer a number of questions that will be compiled here by Greg. We'll go over here in just a second. So, let me warm you guys up with some little trivia since we're talking about the F-14, okay? You guys ready?
Yes.
No, okay, thanks. Not all at once.
Hit it.
Jeez.
Hit it.
Okay.
Go do it.
All right.
Come on. We're running out of time. Let's go.
No, we got plenty of time. I got the record button. When piloted by U.S. airmen in air-to-air combat, what was the F-14's aerial record?
Yes.
The F-14 was undefeated in aerial combat. Just ask the Libyans. All right, there you go. All right, here's a not-so-easier question concerning the F-14. Besides Top Gun, name me another 80s motion picture that featured the F-14 Tomcat in action. Specific.
Iron Eagle.
What's that?
Iron Eagle.
No, that was F-16.
Good job, Chuck. Come on. You call yourself American?
Yeah. Chuck, you want to try it again, Chuck?
Louis Scott Jr. is the greatest actor of the 1980s. Yeah.
All right. Now, specifically from Fighter Squadron 84, the Jolly Rogers had the skull and crossbones on the tail. Can you name me that movie? Come on. Nobody here remembers the final countdown?
Super Dimension Fortress Macross.
Probably skull closer. That wasn't an 80s motion picture, though.
Back to the Future.
No, the final countdown. I had Martin Sheen and who else was in that? Kirk Douglas?
Did anybody besides Gary see that movie?
It's when the Nimitz went back in time and was going to try to prevent Pearl Harbor. And then the time warp came and sucked it back into the present day.
You're such a nerd.
You guys are horrible. That was a great movie.
I've never even heard of it.
No, really? Okay, look. No, we're not talking about that final countdown. Look it up. Watch it. You guys will like it. So anyways, let's talk about this this nice little number of a Sky Striker that we have here, what everything that comes with for a lucky winner.
That barking come with it?
What's that?
Does that barking dog come with it?
You know,
no dogs included.
No dogs included, and that's, you know, I wish I could edit that out, but that's going to be a stern talking to my wife for letting that dog bark as much as he has.
Yes, stern.
And once again,
yes, dear. Sorry, dear.
Yeah. I will do it again. Once again, dear. Folks, I don't want to hear a single word about breathing or anything or a dog barking in the background. This is a podcast. I am not sitting in a studio. Anyways, let's talk about this Sky Striker. It's a 2011 30th anniversary pre-production XP-21F Sky Striker. This is a faithful reproduction of 1983 XF-14 Sky Striker and features offensive firepower of, get this guys, 2 long-range radar-guided Phoenix missiles. Like that? How about 2 medium-range radar-guided Sparrow missiles? If that's not all, you got the 2 short-range heat-seeking Sidewinder missiles and the 50 millimeter rotary Vulcan cannon that will give Joe complete air superiority. Like that? Yes, you do. Keep going. Complete with faux leather detailed interior bucket seat ejector seats, you could put Ace, Slipstream, or if you're a cartoon fan, Scarlet, into the cockpit.
Who's a cartoon fan? Come on.
Exactly. With functional sweep wings, retractable springless landing gear, yay, anti-lock air brakes, you will be sure to be the hit of your next Joe gathering when you have this in your collection. No batteries required, pilots sold separately. This all can be yours if...
The price
you can answer,
is right.
Yeah, almost, almost. If you can answer right. Greg's questions. So, Greg, what are the questions?
All right, we have 4 questions for you. What you need to do to win is email them into What's On Joe Mind, the correct answers. So question number 1, and we'll also put these on the show notes.
We do want to specify that if you email these in, we're going to draw a name out of a hat, or it's not necessarily the first person to respond, right?
Everyone that has correct answers, if there's more than one, it goes into a hat, and then it's a draw.
Yeah. Okay.
And depending on how many people actually get them right, the other people that do get it right, that do not win the Sky Striker, they might actually get some extra prizes, but we'll see how that goes.
Nice. Like a Black Dragon that you might have gotten at the Canadian JoeCon?
That is always a
plus. Amazing how you did not mention that at all this entire podcast.
Can I win it?
No. No one on the... None of us can win.
Autographed picture of Chuck.
Whoa!
Sexy.
Question number 1. What?
Shirt on or off, Chuck? Sorry.
I was going to say that they had the choice of PG or X-rated, but yeah, I'm going to leave that out.
It'd be a very small autograph.
Question number 1. What is Gary's favorite Joe character? Question number 2.
I know.
What is the only Sideshow figure that Greg has? Number 3. What was Justin's old AOL email account? Oh, that's a good one. And number 4. What potentially canceled alpha vehicle/figure does Chuck really want? So if you listen closely to the other former podcasts, these all came up probably a few times. You might have to re-listen.
My favorite character is Cover Girl.
That is not correct at all. But like Justin mentioned, if you send an email to What's On Joe Mind with the answers, Any of the correct ones will be put into a hat, and then we will draw them on the air next week, Tuesday.
Excellent.
Yeah, this is a pretty awesome prize. There's not very many of these floating around. I can think of four people that have one. You would be the fifth. The winner of this will be the fifth person that has one of these in the world that I know of.
Impressive.
So, impressive, yes.
All right. And I think that about does it for this week, guys.
Okay. Are we ready to call this thing out?
Yes.
Well, can I just take 2 seconds and give kind of a public shout-out to a couple people that kind of hooked me up? I know we really didn't do a What You Got This Week segment because most of us didn't really get anything, but I just kind of wanted to do a public thank you to Gary and Greg, a couple of my co-showrunners, Gary, Gary Barber Goggles, and Mike up in the Canadian JoeCon. They all conspired and were able to pick me up a 2011 Canadian JoeCon set, even though I did not attend. So I wanted to just say thank you to those guys. That was a very cool surprise I got this past weekend. Unfortunately, I had to then turn around and come down to Boston for training, so I haven't even got a chance to really play with it yet. But that was a very awesome surprise. I just wanted to say thank you to those guys for doing that for me, and I'll be getting that review up on the site hopefully relatively shortly.
You are such a Joe celebrity.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We are so honored to have you on this show that you can
free stuff. Showered with gifts.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't get that pre-production Skystrike. I'm giving that away to some schmuck.
Hey, be nice to the listeners.
Some wonderful schmuck.
Chuck, you have any parting words?
Just thanks for listening. Check us out at www.insidepulse.com. And as always, you can find my videos at www.youtube.com/chuckdog1999, including my little vlog update where I mentioned the podcast since the three of you.
Very good.
For the low light video, so I made a point of, you know, pimping it to the extreme.
Well done.
I like that dreadlock shirt you're wearing, Chuck. That was real nice.
Yeah, thank you. Nice body. Other than that,
God!
What has gotten into you today?
Man!
I'm sorry. Wait, you know what, listeners? I'm not really like this. It's that these three enable.
Enable nothing.
We're bringing out your true side.
Oh, goodness.
They enable me. But
you are just high on your own Joe celebrity right now, aren't you?
What? Well, you know what? I'll believe I'll have a Joe celebrity if I get 2 free of those Joe Club canceled Cobra Commanders with the histrones. That these get thrown pimped out to me because to review or just to have. Yeah, that's my Joe.
Okay, we'll give your address out after the show. How about that?
There you go. Good idea.
I'll mail you something, Chuck.
Oh. Greg, save this, Greg. Greg, you got anything to say before we wrap this up?
I do not.
Greg is a man of so few words.
We're glad you're back too, Greg.
Just to let you know, when Greg first joined the program in pre-show, he was speaking French, so it must have been something. Was it the poutine up in the Quebec?
That's yes. Poutine.
Poutine, that's what I said.
It actually well did done. Get a chance to have it. It was delicious.
Excellent.
Very recommended.
Good.
According to Chuck, there was a lot of it in that prison you were in.
Yes. Moving on.
All right. Well, talk to us. whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Listen to us at on iTunes and at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com. And for mobile devices, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com/mobile. Read about us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Find us at our various threads in the community on TNI, Terradrome, Joe Customs, JBL, His Tank, Joe Declassified, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, if you can find it. We look forward to hearing from you. Next week, we'll talk about the penultimate episode, I believe, of Renegades. Is that correct, guys? Next to last?
Kind of, yeah. That one's not airing for another 2 or 3 weeks, so we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, it's getting such a sad time. And I'm sure other things will pop up. If not, we have a backlog of reviews and commentary to go over. So regardless, we'll have a show 11 for sure. Unless, Chuck decides not to show up, and then we obviously cannot have a show.
Can't do it without Chuck.
So, what's that?
I said, isn't that right, Chuck? But he's completely ignoring
me. I was going to say, I mean, the Canadian con show was prime example.
That's true. All right,
yeah.
Chuck. Yeah, we don't need you.
Alrighty, well, that does it for this week. For our showrunner, Greg, co-host Justin and Chuck, I am Gary saying good night and see you next week on What's on Joe Mine.
Good night.
Bye-bye.